Hi, my name is Sarah, hailing from Germany, outside of Heidelberg at the moment. I'm a songwriter and a podcaster. Power Bites isn't a power trip. Think of it like a power bar to encourage you and me and challenge you and me to keep up our race together. Thanks for listening.
How are you doing today? Last Thursday, I had what felt like a heart attack on Thursday night. I don't know what it was. I know what it was, but that's not something I'm going to expound upon. But just know that I am cutting back my sugar. I'm taking my apple cider vinegar, taking my vitamin C and my vitamins, and we're trying to, and, you know, praying. It was the Lord that took the pain away that night, and, you know, and it was tears worthy. And I know the big thing is, you know, to, well, go to the doctor. And that is a knee-jerk reaction of a lot of people, but I just don't have that. I don't have that reaction. I don't go to the doctor for every little thing. And I know for some people, that's not a little thing. Okay, but I know what it was. And I know that the Lord had been trying to warn me because every time I would have sugar, my chest would tighten. And so it was like, oh, okay. So if it's candida overgrowth or anything like that, you know, the point is, and my philosophy as far as healing is that it's holistic and all health comes from the gut. Good health comes from the gut. And so, you know, I think my doctor would be, you know, open to more holistic methods if it were, you know, an issue. But I'm going to keep praying about it. And if God wants me to go to the doctor, I'm going to be going to the doctor. I'm not against medicine. I'm just not so like anything happens, let's go. With my kids, it's something else. I mean, it's always that way. It's always that way. But like, I wasn't the mom that went to every checkup for a second one. His book is pretty blank. Don't know if I'm ever going to get in trouble for that, but, we stopped taking the vaccines, after a first multi with my second, and his skin was falling off and it blisters on his butt. And I was like, no, I don't know what's going on the inside, but this is not good. This is not right. And so I stopped. I went, you know, I'm just not going to keep going. My faith in mankind isn't so high that I can, that it disables me from walking away from this stuff, walking away from the hierarchies, as it were. I don't have that overconfidence in anything. It causes me to be very skeptical and critical for sure. But, and someone tried to say that, you know, that means I have a lack of peace. Absolutely, it does not. It does not mean I have depression. Now, there is a sense that I can withdraw too much from people, and that causes depression. But with having an overconfidence in systems, which is kind of what we're discussing, right? Having this overconfidence in systems, having this overconfidence in what the doctor says, because the doctor said it, because I don't think anymore. They have letters behind their name. Good grief, be quiet. You know what I mean? You are not allowed to say anything else if you do not have that certain credential. That is just a recipe for disaster. And since I know the school system is fallen, why? Because it's made up of fallen people. I know the government is fallen. Why? Because it's made up of fallen people. I know the medical profession is fallen. Why? Simply put, it's made up of fallen people. And so how do we find any strength? And we'll find this today in Nehemiah chapter 4. How do we find any strength? What is it that we can put our confidence in? when everything around us seems to have two faces, especially now. You know, we fall apart because, you know, Joe Schmo evangelist, you know, you find out that he was having these extramarital affairs and everyone falls apart. You leave a church because it happened with us. Our leadership decided that we got to let this guy go. They decided that, and I'm not, you know, I've been seeking the Lord on this, and I kind of have doubts. Nevertheless, this is not going to stop me from going to church. There is no perfect church. I mean, sitting here as Christians can with full knowledge know that we are attending a building full of sinners on Sunday, then we can not have a disconnect when it comes to realizing the people that are ready to feed us information are fallen too. People ready to attack us are fallen. People ready to garner too much attention and power are fallen. So there is no confidence in man, per se. So what is it that we can have confidence in? And it isn't letters beside a name. That's good. Somebody worked hard for those letters. Respect it. Absolutely. Absolutely. And they probably have more to say about the subject that they studied. Yeah, for real. For real. Maybe a lot more insight, but that doesn't mean we need to embrace anti-intellectualism. That doesn't mean we stop thinking. So here we go. We're in chapter 4, Nehemiah chapter 4. Now it came about that when Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, he became furious and very angry and mocked the Jews. And so there are several. We're starting a good work. Let me turn off my mail again. It was nice yesterday. I just unsubscribed. And the day before, I just unsubscribed from everything. It's like deep cleaning. The boys are deep cleaning their room. I had enough after full school year. You know, you can't put your kids to work like, all right, so now we're going to deep clean after you've had a full week of school. And German schools are no joke. This is totally reptile. They are no joke. So I don't feel good about, you know, okay, now we're going to deep clean your closet. In the middle of the school year, but now summer's in, we're, you know, just unsubscribing, we are deep cleaning, we'll get this done. So Sanballat, there's a good work that's being done, maybe a good work in your life. Now that you've embraced that this is a good work, you have to embrace the fact that there are going to be levels of opposition. It isn't just going to be, you're an idiot, don't do that. It's going to come in various forms and various levels. So what we have is, what's motivating this is anger, but it's a mockery. Okay, so first, you're probably going to be made fun of. This still happens with me. My kids can't handle the way I sing. They don't like the way I sing. Yesterday, I had just got turned on to a musician, Tosh Sultana. I'm not trying to make an advertisement, but she is phenomenal. Like, I don't say this about anybody. And, like, phenomenal. And so I was listening to, like, I never watch online concerts. But I started her concert. I went through a documentary about her. I listened to several videos as much as I could. And Zeke's like, you'll never be like her. We have, if we're going to take on a good work, we have to embrace the fact, I mean, I got a little opposition in my second born, but that opposition is coming. And one of the marked ways that it comes is mockery. So he spoke in the presence of his brothers, and the wealthy men of Samaria said, "What are these feeble Jews doing? Are they going to restore it for themselves? Can they offer sacrifices? Can they finish in a day? Can they revive the stones from the dusty rubble, even the burned ones?" Now Tobiah the Ammonite was near him, and he said, "Even what they are building, you can imagine them getting together and mocking. If a fox should jump on it, he would break their stone wall down." First, the first thing you have to do, and as I look back on what I was like as a kid and a teenager, I thought that everything I did was meaningless. And that I really had no reason to go to Scripture and pull out these promises. If you are enveloped in a meaningless life, this is not a Scripture that you can handle. This is not a Scripture that you can hold on to. But if you have embraced a good work before you, this means everything. Because when it happens, and it is going to happen, when you are mocked, you say, "Ah, Nehemiah was mocked. God came through for him. I got your number. I know why you're mocking me, because this is a work God's given me to do. And you don't want to see it come to fruition." So, verse 4, "Hear, O our God." And the thing is, there's no transition. This is what I found really interesting between 3 and 4. It doesn't tell you that now somebody else is speaking. So what I want to submit, and it is a stretch, speak over the top of it. The mockery is there. And it will wear you down. You know what I immediately said to my son when he said that? I said, "But there's still a call on my life. Speak over the top of it. Don't let it get through one ear. Swirl around. Discourage your heart. And come out the other. You stop it by speaking over it. Even prayer to God. Hear, O God, how we are despised. Return their reproach on their own heads and give them up for plunder in the land of captivity. Do not forgive their iniquity and let not their sin be blotted out before you. For they have demoralized the builders. So we built the wall, and the whole wall was joined together to half its height, for the people had a mind to work." They had a mind to work. And this is where we're going to talk about some signs. Some more, because I keep having to do this. I keep feeling compelled to do this. Some signs that systemic racism is real. What are some of the telltale signs systemic racism is real? And I'm coming at this purely from a sociological standpoint, psychological standpoint. When it is an agenda, okay? When it is simply an agenda, which, yes, the plight of Black Americans has been hijacked by the far left for untold reasons with stupid solutions. Yes. Let's change the name of a football team. Dumb. Let's Take that show off the air. Dumb. Doesn't do anything. It isn't doing what they're asking. I will say, I'll say that. I'll submit that. What does it do? Change the name of the syrup bottle. What does that do? What is that? So when it is an agenda, it stays within a certain echelon, a certain level on the ladder. It stays within the political talking heads, the movers and the shakers, the ones who have a reason to gain from this, the ones who want to maintain power. It stays within the Ammonite upper F sand ballot. It stays within that sort of place, I guess. It's a, simple language. It stays there. But when it's real, when the work is real, when it actually means something, when lives are actually being destroyed, when people are actually being walked on and set aside economically, socially, within our churches, when they're looked over, it doesn't stay there, does it? The people had a mind to work. They all, and we're going to read about they all and who they all were. So when you hear stories, you know it's propaganda if it stays within a certain echelon of the societal workings, the media. But when you hear testimony and they are coming from every kind of mouth, every age, male or female, you know you got something real to work with. You know there's something there. Now in Sanballat, Tobiah and Arabs and Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the repair of the walls of Jerusalem went on and the breaches began to be closed, they were angry. So now they've been mocking. The anger was behind it. Now the anger is forward. So you deal with the mockery by speaking over it. Don't let it get in to your heart. You've got a good work to do from the Lord. Now, it's anger. And it's still just from these power-hungry people. You don't hear Sanballat's wife on the ground. Okay, yeah, it's not. You don't hear her testimony. The power structure is angry. The power structure is angry. Verse 8, all of them conspired together to come and fight against Jerusalem and to cause a disturbance in it. But we prayed to our God. Who can stand before anger and jealousy? Who can stand? No one. Get on your knees. The gospel will be the thing to change our racial dynamic. It will start and it will end there. The gospel alone. And because of them, we set up a guard against them day and night. They set up a guard. They didn't gather up their pitchforks, get together, and attack. They set up a guard. How can we set up a guard? I can only share what goes on in my life, is that I set aside the time to do this. And I stay and it's not moving. I'm not going to stop writing songs. I'm not going to stop singing in my cracking voice. I'm not going to stop doing my podcasts. And I'm going to pray those things out of the way that are in the way. What do you have to do? But we prayed to our God. Because of them, we were set up. We set up a guard against them day and night. Thus in Judah, it was said, the strength of the burden bearers is failing. Yet there is much rubbish, and we ourselves are unable to rebuild the wall. Our enemies said, they will not know or see until we come among them, kill them, and put a stop to the work. When the Jews who lived near them came and told us 10 times, they will come up against us from every place where you may turn. Then I stationed men in the lowest parts of the space between the wall and exposed places. And I stationed the people and in families with their swords, spears, and bows. And when I saw their fear, I rose and spoke to the nobles, the officials, the rest of the people. Do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome. And fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses.
Okay, thanks for listening. Join me for the next part of this series, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, usually, you know. I'll let you know. Find Underground Crowds on Twitter or undergroundcrowds.com.